Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Payments News. My name is Cindy and today is October 1, 2019. This edition is brought to you by Paycademy, the first business academy to learn payments and fintech. If you have some news in payments and fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about Abu Dhabi Islamic Bank makes Samsung Pay available for Visa cardholders. Worldline completes the acquisition of the minority stake in Aquens Worldline. AirPay, Instagram to launch FX payments solution. The Vibe Group is launching social payment app VibePay. Open banking startup Basique lands funding from Westpac and NAB. Sweden Neobank PFC chooses Mambu for SaaS banking engine. Belgium bank KBC integrates PayPal into its mobile app through open banking. Nationwide sets up London collaboration space to boost open banking. Katabook raises $25 million MLN to help SMEs accept online payments. Semaphone adds new features to its CardProtect Voice Plus payment solution. PayPal enters digital payments market in China with GoPay acquisition. BNext raises $25 million for its mobile banking alternative. Video launches direct carrier billing with Fortumo. Card payments in Vietnam to reach 522.5 MLN by 2023. Visa chosen by Revolut as issuing partner for global expansion. Square warns glitch may prevent transfers to Biz bank accounts. Pressure mounts for India NBFCs as Reliance Capital exits lending business. Paysend debuts business account. Invoiced adds recurring billing support to our platform. Rapid secures $100 million MLN in funding to fuel global fintech as a service expansion. Assisi Bank launches instant account opening on mobile for Indians migrating to UK. UK tightens accounting standards as corporate collapses continue. HastyPay undertakes brand refresh. Fintech bottom line launches AI solution for invoice automation. NASDAQ to acquire the Center for Board Excellence. NAB introduces mobile digital receipts with Swipe Tech. Agriculture in Ant Financial's blockchain sites. Wirecard links loyalty and payments in a single mobile wallet. Moody's issues another supply chain finance warning. Now let's get started. Abu Dhabi Islamic Bank makes Samsung Pay available for Visa cardholders. Abu Dhabi Islamic Bank (ADIB) has announced the launch of Samsung Pay for its Visa-covered cardholders. Samsung Pay is the first mobile wallet system to be adopted by ADIB. The partnership allows Visa-covered cardholders to make payments using their Samsung Pay-enabled devices at any contactless POS reader around the world. The service will be gradually rolled out for Visa debit cards and the bank's MasterCard portfolio over the next period. Worldline completes the acquisition of the minority stake in Aquens Worldline. Worldline has announced the completion of the acquisition of the 36.4% minority stake in Aquens Worldline. Worldline exercised on 24 July 2019 its call option on the 36.4% minority stake in Aquens Worldline, representing the final step of the Aquens acquisition initiated in 2016 and allowing taking full ownership of Aquens Worldline. The call exercise price is €1,070 million for the remaining 36.4% stake and is financed by a €600 million convertible bond issued on the 25th of July 2019 and a €500 million bond issued on the 11th of September 2019. After the closing process, social process with the employee representative bodies could also be completed and regulatory approvals in the Netherlands. AirPay, Instagram to launch FX payments solution. AirPay Payment Services, an India-based omni-channel payments platform, has partnered with Instagram to launch FX Payment, an international payments solution for its merchants. The solution is an alternative to credit cards used for international payments and is currently available to customers in 27 countries across the globe. This payment solution benefits AirPay's Indian merchants in the hospitality, retail, and education sectors, and their overseas customers. The service helps in removing merchants' compliance overhead as well as in reducing the cost and time of the transaction. Customers can pay in their local currency and avoid bank or credit card charges associated with international payments. The Vibe Group is launching social payment app VibePay. UK-based payments company Vibe Group has launched VibePay, a payment initiation service enabling secure direct from bank payments via open banking technology. In the new consumer app, which is free to download and use, users can create groups for social events and share a unique payment link for friends to pay them back in seconds. 1,000 members of the Vibe community have been invited to test the app for the first time, and will be able to leave their feedback in the VibePay community forum. VibePay has been built as an aggregation layer over the open banking APIs to create a bank-agnostic payment gateway. The launch of the VibePay consumer app is the first step of the Vibe Group's payment journey. VibePay for Business will follow later this year, allowing consumers to pay direct from their bank when they're shopping online. Open banking startup Baseek lands funding from Westpac and NAB. The venture capital funds of Westpac and National Australia Bank have co-invested in open banking startup Baseek. The seed investment by Reinventure Group, Westpac's venture capital fund, and NAB Ventures comes after Treasurer Scott Morrison said in last month's budget an open banking regime would be created, liberating customer banking data. The Productivity Commission and a parliamentary committee have also called for the establishment of data sharing regimes. Baseek scrapes financial data from bank webpages to help fintechs compete with incumbent banks. Taking advantages of the government's moves to create an economy where data moves more openly, it plans to morph into a banking platform that uses application programming interfaces to improve customer experience of financial services. Sweden Neobank PFC chooses Mambu for SaaS banking engine. Sweden-based Neobank PFC, Personal Finance Co., has announced that it has gone live on Mambu's SaaS banking engine. Backed by Nordea, PFC offers a personal finance app with an accompanying debit card and, through automation and data-driven insights. Mambu's engine allows PFC to innovate on their back-end and customer-facing systems. Mambu representatives have stated that the partnership with PFC opens up opportunities for the company to leverage its cloud-native API-first architecture and pre-configured functionalities in order to help PFC go live. PFC will soon begin to deploy major additional features for personalized savings and credit products. Mambu's rapid deployment capability supports the agility of PFC's product development and enables the mobile-first neobank to test and launch these new features much faster. Belgium bank KBC integrates PayPal into its mobile app through open banking. Belgium-based digital bank KBC Group has integrated PayPal into its mobile banking app to allow customers to check balances and perform other transactions. The integration is part of a wider open banking effort by KBC Group, which allows customers to access their third-party banking needs directly through the KBC mobile app. According to bank representatives, consulting and using all financial data in one app is a clear question from its customer, and the integration of PayPal allow customers to not only follow the purchases they bought with the familiar KBC or bank contact payment button, but they can now also follow up on their PayPal account. KBC said it was the first bank in Belgium to allow multi-banking through its mobile app starting in March 2018, when it allowed customers to check the balances of their other accounts. KBC customers can access information from accounts with Argenta, Belfius, BNP Paribas Fortis and Ing. Nationwide sets up London collaboration space to boost open banking. Nationwide and five other fintechs have announced working together in collaboration space in UK. Nationwide Building Society has opened a collaboration space in London to support five startups building open banking-based apps and services as part of the second phase of their Open Banking for Good (OB4G) challenge. The program is part of the company's £3 million MLN commitment to the Open Banking for Good challenge. The hub marked the beginning of the incubator phase of Open Banking for Good, designed to build innovative apps and services to help financially vulnerable people. With nationwide experts, OB4G charities and other partners providing ongoing workshop support throughout the incubator phase, the five fintechs working together in the space are OpenWorks, Duket.ai, Trezio, Toucan, and Tully. The space is open for the entirety of this phase of the challenge, running until the end of 2019, by which time solutions would have been tried, tested and ready to roll out to a wider audience. Katabook raises $25 million MLN to help SMEs accept online payments. Katabook, an India-based startup, has raised $25 million in a new financing round. The round was led by GGV Capital, partners of DST Global, RTP Global, Sequoia India, Tencent, and Y Combinator. The startup has raised $29 million to date. Angel investors including Gokul Rajaram of Square, James Viraldi of TikTok, Aditya Agarwal of Dropbox, Sriram Krishnan, Akshay Kothari of Notion, Amrish Rao of PayU, Anand Chandrasekaran, Deep Nishar of SoftBank, Jitendra Gupta of LazyPay, Kunal Bal of Snapdeal, and Kunal Shah of Cred also participated. Katabook operates an Android app that allows micro, small and medium-sized businesses to keep a digital log of their financial transactions and accept payments online. The app was launched on Google Play Store in December 2019 and supports 11 languages. It was used to process transactions worth more than $3 billion in August 2019. Semaphone adds new features to its CardProtect Voice Plus payments solution. Data security and multi-channel compliance solutions provider Semaphone has added new features to its patented telephone payments solution, CardProtect Voice Plus. Live voice capture is one of the new features and addresses critical needs of vulnerable, elderly or disabled customers unable to use a telephone keypad to enter their payment card details. The solution enables contact center agents to place a call into secure voice capture mode, allowing customers to read out their payment card details over the phone. The agent cannot hear the details being shared but can monitor customer progress and follow each step of the payment transaction, card capture process. Semaphone has also implemented key technical capabilities to the Voice Plus platform, enabling faster and smoother implementation of the product. The solution integrates with existing contact center technology and customizable analytics capabilities, and will ensure customers have access to real-time data on payment transactions as they occur across a customer's estate. PayPal enters digital payments market in China with GoPay acquisition. The state-owned People's Bank of China, PBOC, has greenlighted PayPal's acquisition of a majority stake in local company GoPay. This will allow PayPal to become one of the first international companies to gain a payments license in China. PayPal, through one of its local China-based subsidiaries called Yinbaobao, will acquire a 70% stake in GoPay, according to a statement on GoPay's website. The deal is expected to close in Q4 2019. GoPay, officially known as Guofubao Information Technology Co., was set up in 2011 as a joint venture between the China International Commerce Center (CIECC) and HNA Retailing Holding, a subsidiary of the Chinese conglomerate HNA Group. This announcement, while a milestone moment for PayPal, doesn't come as a complete surprise. The PBOC previously revealed that it would open up the domestic market to foreign payments companies in order to support competition. BNext raises $25 million for its mobile banking alternative. Spain-based fintech startup BNext has raised a $25 million funding round. The Spanish company is building a banking product and has managed to attract 300,000 active users. DN Capital, Redelpine and Speedinvest are leading the funding round. Existing investors Founders Future and Comida are also participating. Other investors include Enern, USM, and Conexo. BNext accounts aren't technically bank accounts. The company has an e-money license. You can then use your card and spend money anywhere around the world without any foreign transaction fee. You can also freeze and unfreeze your card from the app. You can also connect to your traditional bank accounts from the BeNext app. This way, you can manage your money from a single app. While BeNext only operates in Spain for now, the company has managed to attract 300,000 active users. It processes 100 million euros in transactions every month, 109 million United States dollars. Up next, BeNext plans to offer premium plans with more features and individual IBANs. The company also plans to expand to Latin America, starting with Mexico later in 2019. Video launches direct carrier billing with Fortumo. Fortumo and Indonesia-based streaming platform Video have signed a direct carrier billing partnership in Indonesia. Due to this agreement, more than 140 million subscribers of Indosat Ooredoo, 3XL Axiata and Smartfren can subscribe to Video Premier and charge payments for the service to their mobile operator Invoice. Video launched direct carrier billing in Indonesia through Fortumo's hosted DCB product, which gives digital merchants access to all of Fortumo's direct integrations with mobile operators. At the same time, Fortumo hosts the checkout flows, which are localized and compliant with each telco's requirements. According to the press release, in Indonesia, less than 3% of people have a credit card and less than 50% have an account with a financial institution. At the same time, smartphone ownership in the country is already at 60%, 153 million users, meaning that a large number of consumers are able to access online services but are unable to pay for premium content. Card payments in Vietnam to reach 522.5 million by 2023. Card payments in Vietnam are set to grow at a CAGR of 17.8% from 271 million in 2019 to 522.5 million in 2023, according to a GlobalData report. As Vietnam Cards and Payments, Opportunities and Risks to 2023 report reveals, the number of card payments increased more than 5 times in the last 5 years, rising from 56 million in 2015 to 271 million in 2019 at a CAGR of 48.3%. Other key findings, the expansion of banking infrastructure and the licensing of non-bank companies to offer payment services in rural areas played an important role in driving the consumer shift towards electronic payments. The government is aiming to bring 70% of the adult population under the formal banking system by 2020. Other government objectives include the expansion of point-of-sale infrastructure and increased payments of utility bills through electronic methods. The State Bank of Vietnam has granted licenses to 30 non-bank companies as of July 2019 to provide payment services in the country. Visa chosen by Revolut as issuing partner for global expansion. Visa and Revolut have announced a new agreement that aims to help Revolut expand its business globally. As part of the agreement, Revolut will leverage Visa's brand, scale, and global acceptance footprint, thus being able to bring its product offerings to 5 new regions. As such, the company reaches 24 new markets, for a total of 56 markets globally. Moreover, Revolut will primarily issue Visa-branded cards in the global expansion. Revolut and Visa will allow for flexible, customized banking services. Revolut customers can receive instant spending notifications, monthly spending breakouts and budgets by individual categories. Low-cost currency exchange. Revolut customers can spend globally in over 150 currencies, and hold and exchange up to 29 currencies and cryptos directly in the app using the interbank exchange rate. P2P payments. Consumers can instantly send and request money for free and split the bill at restaurants and bars with any Revolut customer globally. Revolut offers digital financial services via a mobile application, including currency exchange, budgeting, and person-to-person P2P payments, all linked to a Visa card. Visa will enable Revolut to launch initially in Australia, Brazil, Canada, Japan, New Zealand, Russia, Singapore, and the US, followed by Argentina, Chile, Colombia, Hong Kong, India, Indonesia, Korea, Malaysia, Mexico, Philippines, Saudi Arabia, South Africa, Taiwan, Thailand, Ukraine, and Vietnam. Square warns glitch may prevent transfers to Biz Bank accounts. Payments technology company Square has acknowledged a technical glitch that prevented one small business in Toronto, Canada, from receiving funds in its bank account and warns that it might not necessarily be a one-off case. Reports in CBC News on Monday, September 30, said Little Havana, a mobile coffee stand based in Toronto, claims more than $10,500 in payments processed via Square never made it into the company's TD Canada Trust bank account. The company noted that it has used Square for years without any issue. Late last month, Little Havana co-owner Monica Mustelier said she noticed thousands of dollars worth of sales had not made it into the company bank account. "It's been really frustrating because I've been spending at least 2 to 3 hours every day going between Square and TD when I could actually be drumming up business for us," she told the news outlet, adding that the company has now moved to being cash only to avoid any more possible losses. "That could be damaging to sales revenue," however, with Mustelier estimating that some 80% of current customers pay via card. A spokesperson for Square warned that this may not be an isolated case. "I can't say this is widespread. I can't say it's a one-off," said Square Canada Communications Manager Valerie Jackson. The company also declined to say how many business clients may have been impacted by the glitch. However, following CBC Canada's communication with Square, the payments company said it had located Little Havana's funds, though declined to provide more details. As of the story's publishing, the company still had not seen those funds in its bank account. Square said an issue with its unnamed acquiring processor was to blame for the glitch. In another interview with the news outlet, Ryerson University Transmedia Zone Director and technology expert Professor Ramona Pringle said that the case highlights a bigger issue about tech in general and how the market can ensure transparency and accountability. Pressure mounts for India NBFCs as Reliance Capital exits lending business. India-based financial services provider Reliance Capital has announced it will exit the lending market. Anil Ambani, group chairman of the non-bank financial company, NBFC, revealed the firm's plans on Monday, September 30, Reuters reported, noting that the company is struggling to overcome collateral damage resulting from a slowing national economic and a broader crisis, the publication said, in India's lending sector. Reports also noted that analysts first sounded the alarm on Reliance earlier this year when auditors raised concerns over ambiguity in the firm's accounting practices and related party transactions. While the company will continue to operate in the asset management and general insurance spaces, Reliance shrunk its footprint by lowering its ownership in Reliance Nippon Life Asset Management from about 25% to just over 4%. Following Ambani's announcement, shares in Reliance Capital dropped to their lowest level in 2 decades. Since their highest level in January 2008, reports said, shares have lost about 99% of their value. "It is unfortunate that during all this noise, the true value of our business has not been recognized," Ambani said. Reliance Capital offers loans to small and medium-sized businesses (SMBs) via its Reliance Money unit, while its Reliance Home Finance operation offers loans to home buyers. Combined, these operations made up an estimated 15% of the company's revenue in the most recent fiscal year, according to reports. India's NBFC community is in flux amid tightening regulations as the government looks to promote customer protections and risk mitigation while maintaining broad access to financial services. Last month, Bloomberg reported that NBFCs in India have issued $1.5 billion in foreign loans so far in 2019, down from $2 billion during the same timeframe a year prior. Reports at the time noted that regulators are hearing more calls for tighter regulations on NBFCs to protect economic growth and stability, with analysts pointing to a rise in defaults and rating cuts as adding uncertainty to the market. Paysend debuts business account. Paysend, the Edinburgh-based fintech, launches Paysend Connect, a business account in collaboration with Krasala, an open banking software provider. The collaboration also enables businesses to provide fintech solutions to their customers. Paysend Connect provides innovative technology to offer companies next-generation business banking and high-end embedded fintech services. The new platform enables companies to open multi-currency business accounts, make SEPA SWIFT transfers, issue corporate MasterCards with no purchase fees, and process online payments. Financial institutions and payment service providers can use PaySend Connect to launch further fintech services because of the open banking technology provided by Krasila. PaySend Connect also enables telecoms companies, retailers, social networks, and other businesses to embed white-labeled fintech products, such payment accounts, to their platforms within days. Ronald Miller, CEO of PaySend, said, "PaySend Connect removes the hassle and complexity for business owners wanting to open up a multi-currency business account. By supporting businesses to do this quickly and simply, we help them to focus on their commercial operations." Invoiced adds recurring billing support to our platform. Accounts receivable automation firm Invoiced is adding new features to its solution, including support for recurring payments and enhanced cash flow forecasting for CFOs. In an announcement issued today, October 1, Invoiced said it will add a subscription billing module designed for middle market companies, enabling users to bundle a range of their existing products and services into subscription plans and automatically bill on a consistent, recurring basis. The solution includes data analytics and customer sign-up capabilities. The updates also include a cash forecasting module designed for chief financial officers, corporate treasurers and controllers, and included projected cash inflows based on invoice due date, promises to pay, customers signed up for auto pay and customers signed up for installment payment plans. Finally, Invoiced announced new functionality for access management, enabling managers and IT professionals to customize control of the platform to dictate who is able to view, create and edit a range of actions, including invoices, payments and other processes. With our new capabilities for subscription billing, cash forecasting and access management, we're stepping up to address the challenges and our acceleration opportunities raised by our increasingly diverse and sophisticated customer base, said Invoiced co-founder and CEO Jared King in a statement. These new features and many others further distinguish Invoiced as a true, end-to-end platform, and set us apart from more narrowly focused products and tools. Last year, Invoiced announced a collaboration with GoCardless, which allows business users to accept direct debit payments in the UK after invoicing customers via the Invoiced platform. At the same time, the company also revealed expanded support for international mid-market corporate customers, broadening the number of currencies in which companies can request and accept payment, and enabling business users to create individual legal subsidies in different global markets, with Invoiced ensuring local-level compliance for its users. Rapid secures $100 million MLN in funding to fuel global fintech as a service expansion. Rapid, a global fintech as a service provider, has announced a $100 million financing round led by Oak HC, FT. Tiger Global, Coatue, General Catalyst, Target Global, Stripe, and Entra Capital also participated in the funding round. Earlier in 2019, Rapid also raised $40 million in Series B financing. With this new investment, the company will continue to build out its unified cloud-based technology platform that helps businesses integrate fintech and payment capabilities into any commerce application. The funding will also be used to further build out the Rapid Global Payment Network that helps businesses expand in local and cross-border markets by reaching more than 4 billion consumers with a broad range of local payment methods beyond credit cards. Rapid is paving the way for the growing global wave of fintech and commerce modernization being undertaken by e-commerce merchants, gig economy platforms, financial institutions, and technology providers looking to enable highly localized customer experiences. Rapid supports the expansion of local and cross-border businesses for any type of commerce or fintech application from one unified platform by managing the complexity of connecting disparate local payment systems, integrating any type of local payment method, and ensuring local regulations and compliance requirements are met. Rapid's global fintech as a service platform provides a number of capabilities including the ability to accept cash, bank transfers, e-wallets, and local debit card payments in over 100 countries. Disbursements in over 170 countries. Multi-currency settlement to a single file across 65 currencies. Advanced real-time foreign exchange services. Global KYC, AML, and counterfinancing terrorism CFT services. Assisi Bank launches instant account opening on mobile for Indians migrating to UK. Assisi Bank UK PLC, a subsidiary of Assisi Bank, announced the launch of a digital account opening facility using the bank's mobile application. This first-of-its-kind service by an Indian bank in United Kingdom, UK, enables Indians, holding Indian passport, moving to UK for work, to open a personal current account in UK while they are in India itself. This account is equivalent to a savings account in India. To open an account, a soon-to-be expat individual can simply download the bank's UK mobile application called Assisi Bank UK iMobile and furnish all KYC details electronically without visiting a branch in UK. The account is instantly activated, thus allowing customers to start transacting immediately. Customers will receive a contactless debit card at their correspondent's address within a few days either in UK or in India, and will also be able to remit money 24/7 instantly to any Assisi Bank account in India. Speaking about the initiative, Mr. Loknath Mishra, MD and CEO, Assisi Bank UK PLC said, "Assisi Bank has been leveraging technology to provide world-class banking experience to its customers. We have introduced the opening of a personal current account in digital manner to further improve engagement with our customers. This unique proposition heralds a new era of opening an account in few minutes, a marked improvement over a few days taken earlier. We believe that ease of banking is a key parameter for individuals when they look for a banking partner. Assisi Bank remains committed to meet customers' banking needs in UK as well as make hassle-free remittance service to India. The mobile application Assisi Bank UK iMobile can be downloaded on both Android and iOS-based smartphones. UK tightens accounting standards as corporate collapses continue. More high-profile corporate collapses in the UK have led the Financial Reporting Council, FRC, to enact more stringent accounting standards, The Guardian reported on Monday, September 30. According to reports, the FRC issued an updated going concern standard, adding significantly stronger requirements for UK auditors than are currently mandated under international standards. The FTC has also reportedly been in communication with its counterparts in Australia, Canada, and Japan to support the revisions. Updated standards include requirements for auditors to elevate their scrutiny over clients' management teams, a new reporting requirement for auditors to clearly establish a conclusion on whether large public and private companies' management teams appropriately assess going concern, and a requirement for auditors to consider all evidence obtained when drawing that conclusion. The elevated requirements follow last week's collapse of Thomas Cook, the world's oldest travel management company. The FRC is currently reviewing whether it will launch an investigation into the company's failure, reports said, which could culminate in fines issued by the FRC's enforcement division. In a statement, the FRC's chief executive Stephen Hadrill said, "High-quality audit protects the public interest, meets the needs of users of financial statements and underpins investor confidence. Recent corporate failures have, for good reason, adversely affected that confidence. Our own enforcement work has demonstrated a need to strengthen existing going concern standards, which is a fundamental aspect of audit, so that investors can have confidence in audited financial statements and businesses' financial prospects," he continued. Reports noted that Hadrill will step down from the position at the end of this month following a surge in criticism of the FRC after other high-profile corporate collapses, including those of Carillion and Patisserie Valerie. That criticism has led to an independent review of the FRC being conducted by Legal and General Group Chairman Sir John Kingman. Previously, a committee of MPs slammed the FRC as chronically passive. The most recent collapse of Thomas Cook elevated those criticisms. HastiPay undertakes brand refresh. Hasti, the workplace financial well-being technology provider formerly known as HastiPay, has undergone a brand refresh to support its continued growth. Now simply known as Hasti, the company's new identity, which includes contemporary branding and a fully redesigned website, will help it in its mission to increase financial well-being and workplace productivity. Hasti's award-winning smartphone app enables workers to access a portion of their earned pay immediately, increasing their financial freedom and improving their well-being. Employers benefit from the improved productivity, engagement, recruitment and retention of their workforces at zero cost to the business and with no impact on cash flow. Hastie's clients range from some of the largest enterprises in the UK that work in a variety of sectors. The company also recently launched the 2019 edition of its annual workplace well-being study, which revealed that 82% of workers use high-cost credit between paydays, less than a quarter of workers are able to budget and live within their means, and 53% of workers believe employers have a responsibility to offer financial support. "We're excited and proud to reveal our revitalized brand identity," said Hastie CEO James Herbert. "This brand refresh comes at a time of significant growth for us, having recently signed up a diverse variety of clients across a range of sectors and will support our continued development. We're here to help employers realize the importance of financial well-being in an age where pay cycles don't really fit with the on-demand lifestyles workers are now living. In 2019, everything from entertainment to shopping and meals are available on demand, but earned pay is not. Workers still have to endure traditionally rigid pay cycles. Hastie helps businesses become destination employers by providing on-demand pay as a workplace benefit. In turn, employers get better engagement and productivity with no financial impact on the business or its cash flow. Fintech Bottom Line launches AI solution for invoice automation. Commercial payments firm Bottomline Technologies is rolling out advancements to its invoice automation platform that uses artificial intelligence, AI, the company announced in a press release on Tuesday, October 1. The fintech said it is improving user experience on its PayMode X AP automation platform and utilizing AI for enhanced invoice data capture. Organizations have realized the benefit of taking a holistic, end-to-end, approach when it comes to accounts payable automation, said Bob Cohen, research director at Ardent Partners. Bottomline's addition of enhanced invoice automation capabilities to its PayMode X solution addresses this requirement and is a natural enabler of accounts payable productivity, end-to-end efficiency, and enhanced visibility across all AP operations. PayMode X invoice automation aims to help companies automate and digitize the invoice lifecycle and reduce manual processes with AI-powered data and image capture. Bottomline is also updating the PayMode X AP automation solution to work more seamlessly with users' back-office systems. "Our innovative invoice automation enhancements combined with our proven payments capabilities provide our customers with an unmatched AP automation solution," said Bottomline Technologies Vice President of Strategy and Product Bill Wardwell. "With seamless ERP connectivity, next-generation invoice data capture, intelligent dashboards and full visibility across the invoice-to-pay lifecycle, AP departments will maximize process automation, freeing employees to focus on driving the business forward and increasing organizational value," Wardwell added. More than 400,000 companies use the PayMode X platform to transfer B2B funds. Bottomline said in August that it is doubling down on data intelligence after posting an 11% year-on-year increase in subscription and transaction revenues for the fourth quarter of fiscal year 2019. The company is also planning to invest in the platform's network payment score, which analyzes vendor payments characteristics to assess the risk of any given transaction. The growing threat of payment fraud is pushing Bottomline Technologies to invest in payments security and data analytics within the platform. Nasdaq to acquire the Center for Board Excellence. Nasdaq, Inc., Nasdaq, NDAQ, announced today its acquisition of the Center for Board Excellence, CBE, a privately held provider of corporate governance and compliance solutions for boards of directors, CEOs, corporate secretaries, and general counsels. Nasdaq plans to combine CBE with its Nasdaq Governance Solutions business, which operates award-winning One Board Portal and collaboration technology solutions. The combination establishes a leading provider of technology, research and insights, and consultative services designed to advance governance excellence and collaboration at public, private, and nonprofit organizations worldwide. CBE will allow Nasdaq to expand our reach within the boardroom, where we serve as a strategic governance partner to the thousands of directors, leadership teams, and governance professionals who rely on Nasdaq's technology and insights to elevate their governance, said Michael Bartels, President, Nasdaq Governance Solutions. With CBE, our enhanced offering will help streamline collaboration and the assessment process at public, private, and nonprofit companies that seek corporate governance excellence. Founded in 2010, CBE's portfolio of solutions include board and committee assessments, director peer assessments, CEO and management evaluations, and directors and officers questionnaires, and other compliance questionnaires. Since 2017, NASDAQ Governance Solutions has partnered with CBE to solve a wide range of corporate governance needs in the public, private, and not-for-profit business environments. A commitment to corporate governance and board excellence is a vision CBE shares with NASDAQ and our clients, said Byron Laughlin, founder and CEO of CBE. CBE is delighted to join the NASDAQ team in our united mission to deliver the best and most innovative governance solutions available to board leaders today. CBE will remain focused on delivering board excellence products through its Engagitum platform that includes the premier board performance and CEO evaluation process, and the standard in digital director and officer questionnaires and disclosure solutions. NAB introduces mobile digital receipts with SlipeTech. NAB has launched a new digitized receipt product allowing customers to easily digitize any paper receipt through the NAB mobile app. The solution, developed in partnership with Australian fintech provider Slipe, makes keeping invoice records easier for customers by enabling them to scan and store receipts. NAB Executive General Manager Small Business, Lee O'Neill, said the Slipe feature would save valuable time for people running small businesses who are constantly on the move. "Our small business customers continually ask us for ways we can help them save time on administrative requirements, to allow them to spend more time with their own customers," Ms. O'Neill said. "This feature in our mobile app provides customers with a simple and easy way to access the many receipts they collect, which is particularly helpful for managing administration and tax requirements and can also provide peace of mind for proof of purchase or product warranty needs." The integration with Slipe is another example of how we're investing in digital tools to help our small business customers, building on initiatives like our QuickBiz loan offering, our partnership with Xero to make payments easier, and improvements we've made to internet banking and NAB Connect. The in-app receipts function represents the first phase of Slipe's capabilities to be rolled out into the NAB mobile app. The next phase, being deployed in coming months, will allow participating retailers to send customers automated digital receipts via the NAB mobile app, eliminating the need to scan. NAB will be the first Australian bank to deploy the smart receipt technology with Slipe. "We're excited about what's in store for our customers as we continue working with Slipe to improve the capabilities of this feature, with the potential to deliver things like warranty reminders, streamlined loyalty and targeted offers, in addition to providing the productivity and convenience benefits," Ms. O'Neill said. Since launching in early September, the new feature has already had more than 15,000 receipts digitized by customers. Small business owner and manager of Master Dry Cleaners, Luke Hudson, said, "I am impressed with level of detail and intuitive reading of all the line items within the receipt scan. The ability to add notes is also a real plus and will save me time in the long run, when I need to pass on information to my accountant." Agriculture in Ant Financial's blockchain sites. As reported by CoinDesk yesterday, Sept. 30, Bayer Crop Science has struck a pact to work with Ant Financial, affiliated with Alibaba, in an effort that will develop a blockchain-underpinned system to monitor agriculture products. The companies, as noted, have entered into what is known as a letter of intent to use the blockchain technology to boost efficiency and digitize agriculture. According to CoinDesk, the pact will bring portfolio and digital farming technologies on offer from Mannheim am Rhein to Bayer Crop Science and the blockchain division of Ant Financial. As reported, 33% of Ant Financial is owned by Alibaba. Terms of the pact were not disclosed. "Together with Bayer, our exploration of blockchain in agriculture will improve the transparency and responsiveness of its supply chain, and bring more value to consumers, farmers and the society," said Jeff Zhang, VP and GM of Ant Financial's Intelligent Technology Group, in a statement that disclosed the partnership. Ant Financial has said in past months that it has been developing blockchain systems for charity platforms, CoinDesk noted. Earlier this year, Ant Financial was an investor in a $10 million Series A round for QEDIT, which develops privacy solutions geared toward blockchain. In mid-2018, Ant Financial announced that it launched a blockchain-based cross-border settlement service for consumers. The initiative enabled consumers to send funds between Hong Kong and the Philippines. Blockchain tech helped integrate Alipay with the Philippines-based mobile service GCash. Transactions have been settled in seconds, according to reports, and the firm said that the banking partner for the C2C services has been Standard Chartered. In stats offered by CoinDesk, in one example of the audience for remittances, 200,000 Filipino domestic helpers reside in Hong Kong, and many of them send cash home to family. Overstock makes blockchain inroads as reported, too. Overstock.com has been making strides with its blockchain technologies. Forbes noted yesterday that with Medici Ventures, a wholly owned subsidiary, Jonathan Johnson taking the helm, there may be a growing intent by Overstock to invest in DLT. As noted, Medici has participated in Evernym's simple agreement for future equity, which will let the company take preferred stock in Evernym, and has brought $2 million toward efforts to produce blockchain-based identity products. We have two main initiatives for both the short and mid-term focus of Medici Ventures, Johnson told Forbes. First, supporting the companies that are in the Medici Ventures family. This includes support with software development, management, recruiting, public relations and fundraising as requested by the leadership at those companies. We believe we have found the best in breed in each of our six areas of focus: identity, land titling, banking and currency, capital markets, supply chain, voting, with Evernym squarely filling out the identity focus. Our second initiative is to build out our government as a service offering. Blockchain in the food supply in Sicily. Blockchain for use in tracking the food supply chain is getting legislative support. Cryptopolitan reported that the Sicilian Regional Assembly, defined as an autonomous legislative body of Sicily, approved late last month the use of blockchain in enhancing food traceability. The site said the extensive proposal was put forth by the Five Star Movement, M5S, political party. The proposal will let companies track farm-to-fork efforts across Sicilian companies. Wirecard links loyalty and payments in a single mobile wallet. Wirecard, the global innovation leader for digital financial technology, continues to expand its value-added services portfolio with the launch of its fully digital multi-merchant loyalty solution. With a unique B2B2C approach, the solution supports companies looking to globally expand their operations and tap into new industry sectors. By linking loyalty and payment services within a digital wallet, Wirecard is the first company globally combining these services fully cross-functionally. This means everything from issuing and managing branded loyalty cards and apps to managing all wallet transactions will be handled by Wirecard. With this, the company offers airlines and other segments such as retail an all-in-one service through the Wirecard platform, customizable solutions, loyalty program support, and payment services integration. Wirecard expects this unique service enhancement to drive €150 million extra revenue in the next 12 to 18 months. The customer journey is as simple as possible. Every time a consumer pays with a linked payment method, they collect rewards in the form of points, miles, or any other benefits. Users have more freedom when redeeming their rewards thanks to this flexibility. End customers' points can be converted into digital money to make purchases both online and at point of sale across a range of merchants. At the same time, merchants benefit from the extra revenue that comes from points being redeemed digitally as a payment method. To get the most out of the loyalty program, the Wirecard solution increases the number of possible touch points where users can earn and redeem points by combining multiple market segments. This kind of loyalty approach is especially relevant in the airline industry. A 2018 global study by Bond Brand Loyalty found that 50% of consumers are very satisfied with multi-brand loyalty programs. When it comes to loyalty programs, engagement and simplicity are key. With our flexible loyalty offering, we can involve more companies on a global scale, commented JRGMLLER, EVP Travel and Mobility at Wirecard. As a result, consumers can engage in a larger loyalty program, which offers them more channels to earn and spend their rewards around the world, and a seamless loyalty experience. We are excited to bring modern, innovative loyalty programs to the market with our new solution and continue to digitalize daily financial management. The new solution will be piloted in cooperation with Cargeny, a London-based company which provides digital transformation toolkits, for example, for the travel industry. Cargeny customers include a number of national airlines and Fortune 500 companies. Through this cooperation, Wirecard and Cargeny can provide loyalty program operators with customizable and digital-first solutions. Loyalty and rewards is in our DNA. Together with Wirecard, we are able to combine fully digital payment capabilities with a first-class loyalty management platform and points engine to support simple to complex programs. We are excited about enabling merchants to widen their reach in customer engagement and generate new revenue beyond their core business, said Peter Marriott, co-founder of Cargeny. Moody's issues another supply chain finance warning. More than a year after Fitch Ratings raised concerns about a loophole allowing corporates to obtain supply chain financing without classifying it as debt, Moody's has issued its own warning over the financing solution. In a recent announcement, Moody's Investors Service concluded that supply chain finance, also known as reverse factoring, has the potential to weaken liquidity and limit visibility for investors and shareholders. Calling for new requirements to improve the transparency of corporates' use of reverse factoring, Moody's noted that few businesses actually disclose their use of this supply chain financing tool, while others may not adequately understand the risks associated with it. Reverse factoring, in which a corporate buyer initiates an invoice financing tool for its supplier base, contributed to high-profile defaults including that of Spain energy giant Abengoa and, more recently, Carillion in the UK. Users of financial statements may not be aware of a customer's usage of reverse factoring, despite the potentially material consequences, Moody's Associate Managing Director William Coley said in a statement last month. The customer itself may not fully understand the added risk that accompanies the use of this financing technique. According to Moody's, corporates may deploy reverse factoring tools as part of a broader strategy of supply chain control. When reverse factoring is used to stretch working capital, Moody's said, or when a customer's credit quality degrades, risks can mount. Supply chain financing scrutiny grows. Following the publishing of Moody's report, the Financial Times pointed to GFG Alliance, the business empire of Sanjeev Gupta that has recently been hit with scrutiny over its finances. Despite efforts to raise more conventional forms of funding, Mr. Gupta's business empire is still heavily reliant on opaque and unconventional financing linked to working capital and supply chains that can be expensive, the Financial Times wrote, adding that while its use of supply chain finance is not debt, it can still have a financial burden on the conglomerate's books. It's just borrowing, London Business School accounting professor Chris Higson told the publication, adding that reverse factoring and receivables financing is often a strategy for organizations unable to access more affordable financing. It matters because the more you borrow and the more you sell receivables, then the weaker the balance sheet. And if there's a downturn in your market and you face a setback, you're more likely to fail. The publication added that Greensill Capital, headed by Lex Greensill, has played a key role in GFG's financing strategy. Describing reverse factoring as a signature technique for Greensill, the publication noted that while the tool can be useful in helping large corporates smooth out cash flow, it can also disguise a troubled company's mounting borrowings. Greensill itself has been the subject of recent scrutiny, however, with reports in Financial News in May noting that investors had pulled about $1.8 billion from the GAM Greensill Supply Chain Finance Investment Fund, operated by GAM and Greensill. That followed previous criticisms raised by one of the fund's largest investors, Vodafone, and its practice of delayed payments to suppliers. GFG Alliance told the Financial Times that it is satisfied that we have ample access to capital and headroom within our range of available lending facilities to satisfy the needs of our businesses and their growth. A history of skepticism. This isn't Moody's first warning over supply chain financing, however. In late 2015, the company warned that reverse factoring has debt-like qualities despite not being recorded as debt in corporate balance sheets. The criticism was met with a backlash of its own, with the International Trade and Forfaiting Association challenging Moody's position that trade debt should be classified as financial debt. Last year, Fitch Ratings issued its own report drawing similar conclusions, leading the International Trade and Forfeiting Association, ITFA, among others, to speak out. IFTA had a very good dialogue with Moody's when it issued its own supply chain financing warning, said ITFA Chairman Sean Edwards in an interview with Global Trade Review last year. It looks like we're going to have to start the dialogue with Fitch. He added that while B2B payment terms continue to lengthen, often a catalyst for deploying trade finance solutions like reverse factoring, it doesn't not necessarily mean that supply chain financing should be reclassified as debt. There has been an increase in days payable, because it is very widespread, he noted. But does that mean it should be treated as back debt? I don't think so. In abnormal cases, like possibly Carillion and Abengoa, they had additional features. In the case of Carillion, it dwarfed their other lines of finance. It's unclear whether Moody's latest report will again lead IFTA to respond. Last year, Moody's issued a separate warning in response to mounting corporate debt in the U.S., with Moody's Analytics chief economist Mark Zondi describing the similarities between the current borrowing behavior and the subprime lending surge that led to the 2008 global financial crisis as eerie. This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again Paycademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.